morning, church. It's a joy to be in God's presence this morning. God has been faithful to us as a people. And God has brought us a mighty long way. The year is drawing to a close, and a lot has happened. But all in all, God expects of us to be grateful. And this morning, I'll be standing in for Pastor Jeff, who is not with us today. And for those of you who don't know me, my name is Kelechi Uchebuo. I'm privileged to be serving as an elder here in IBCD. And I'll be bringing us God's word as the Spirit of God has put in my heart. And I trust that today we will hear that which the Spirit of God wants us to hear. And the title of this sermon is Giving Thanks to God. I have two scriptural readings. The first is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. And it reads, "In everything, give thanks to God. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." The second scriptural reading is from Psalms 103, verses 1 to 3. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thine diseases." Now, as the year draws to a close, it's usually a time when people take stock. They do an assessment on the year, and they also plan for the coming year. But for us as believers, it isn't just all about that. It's a time for us to look back on the year and find and search for the fingerprints of God's faithfulness in our lives and name our blessings and be thankful to God for those blessings. You may not have achieved all that you set out to achieve at the beginning of the year. But one thing I can guarantee you is that you're not where you used to be. You may not be where you want to be yet, but you certainly are not where you used to be. You have made some progress. And for that, you need to be thankful to God. God wants us to enjoy the now. God wants us to enjoy the moment. One of the things that rob people of the joy of the present is the disappointment of the past, the failures of the past. And sometimes we can allow the disappointment of the past, the failures of the past, and even the expectations of the future to rob us of today's joy. But God expects us to be joyful in the now, in today. One way by which we can live joyfully in today is to be grateful. And you know, it really doesn't take too much for us to see God's faithfulness. Just look at your life. Look all around you. Look at your home. Look at your children. Look at your job. You definitely will see something that God has done for you. And gratitude is an intentional thing. It starts by thinking. A songwriter wrote a song and said, "When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he has done for me, my very soul will sing hallelujah, praise God for saving me." It starts by thinking. As you begin to think, you will begin to find those fingerprints of the faithfulness of God in your life. And the natural response will be to thank God. And this scripture in Psalms 103 verse 2, part of it read, "And forget not all his benefits." And one of the problems And one of the problems that God had with the children of Israel, if you have read the story of the Israelites as they moved from Egypt into the promised land, one of the things, the issues that God had with them was that they were always murmuring and complaining. When they were in Egypt, they saw the mighty hand of God. They saw how God brought them out of Egypt. The Egyptians suffered plagues upon plagues upon plagues. Not only that, God parted the Red Sea for them, and they walked on dry ground. The Red Sea stood upon two heaps on either side, and they walked upon dry ground. They saw all of those miraculous acts of God. And when they crossed the Red Sea and came to the wilderness, and when they were thirsty, they began to murmur and complain again. They suddenly forgot what God had done in the past. And that scripture in Psalms 103 verse 2 says, "Forget not all his benefits." And I believe that that's the reason why memorials becomes important. That whenever God does a thing for his children, he wants them to remember it. For instance, in 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12. Now, if you read the full account of what happened in 1 Samuel chapter 7, Israel had sinned against God, and the Egyptians took them bondage. And in that account, they all gathered together in Mizpah, and they began to cry out to the Lord, and they began to confess their sins. And Samuel the prophet was with them. When the Philistines got word that they were gathered together, the Philistines came to attack them. And Samuel cried out to the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder. And in the end, they defeated the Philistines and became victorious in battle. But Samuel did something significant. Samuel took a stone and placed the stone between Mizpah and Shen. And he called the name of that stone Ebenezer. And he said, "Hitherto, up until this extent, the Lord has helped us." And the reason for that is this, that whenever an Israeli walks past that location where the stone is located and sees that stone, it becomes a reminder of what God had done in the past. Also in the book of Joshua, chapter 3 and 4, you would read of a similar account. On their way to the promised land, and they had to cross the Jordan River, God parted the River Jordan for them. The moment the legs of the priest touched the river, the waters were parted. And they crossed the Jordan River. And God instructed Joshua and told him, "Let one man from every tribe pick a stone from the midst of the River Jordan and take that stone with you and take it out of the river." And after all was said and done, after everyone had crossed and the priest had crossed, in Joshua chapter 4 verse 20, the Bible records that Joshua pitched those stones and they became memorial stones. And those stones symbolized the help of God in the past. In fact, Joshua said to them, "When your children ask you, 'What are these stones for?' tell them that God parted the waters for us when we were on our way to the promised land." They became memorial stones. And it is important. I believe the reason why God is doing all of this is so that we don't forget. Because thanksgiving is a thing we need to practice. You need to put some thought into it. It is intentional. And so you need something to remind you of it. And that's the reason for the stone. We can also have our own memorial stones. I'll encourage each and every one of us to make it a habit. Get a book and write down the things that God does for you on a daily basis. If you can, those will become your own memorial stones. You can look back on God's faithfulness in the past and draw strength and draw inspiration and draw courage to handle the present and to face the future with hope. And you can say to yourself, God, who was faithful to me in the past, is still the same God in the now. He has not changed. God, who brought me this far, didn't bring me this far to leave me. And one of the names of God that we know in the scriptures is the name I Am That I Am. And that speaks of a present God. I am, not I was. I am. And even when you get to the future, your future becomes your present at that time, he will still be your I am. He's telling us, I am your father. I'm not just your father, but I am a present father. I'm not an absentee father. I am that I am. One way by which we can develop or cultivate this attitude of gratitude is to have memorial stones. Write them down. You know, some people have diaries, and all they have in those diaries are things that people have done against them in 1978, 22nd August 1978, at 10:15 a.m. It was a rainy day. I had white shirt and black pants. And this person did this thing to me. And just, that's what they have in their diary. And every time you look at it, it reminds you of that ugly incident. And the pain of that incident is perpetuated. Get rid of those kinds of diary. Get a new diary. Open a new chapter. Begin to write the things that God has done for you. Those become your memorial stones. You can look at what God has done in the past and be grateful for it. And it will help you to live in the present and to see that God is with you and that God will take you through. And when you are faced with another challenge, when you are faced with a situation, you know that he that was faithful to you in the past is still the same God and he will be faithful to you in the now. And memorials isn't something that just happened in the Old Testament. Before Jesus left the earth, he gave us the communion. And every time we come to the communion table to break bread and to partake of the wine, we are coming to a remembrance table. This scripture reads, and he took bread and gave thanks and break it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. We come to a remembrance table. That activity is something that helps us to remember. We remember that Jesus was our sacrifice. That upon Calvary's cross, his blood was spilled for us. Upon Calvary's cross, his body was battered, broken for our healing. He became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He was stripped naked. He took our shame, that we may receive his glory. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 10 said that through his suffering, he brought many sons unto glory. His body was broken for our healing. That's what we remember. We remember that Jesus is our sacrifice, that the death that he died was not his death, but our death. He died our death, and he took our place. That is what we remember. And as we partake of it, we partake of the communion with a deep sense of gratitude for what Jesus has done for us. The communion serves as a constant reminder of the grace of God that was manifested upon Calvary's cross for us. We remember Jesus, our sacrifice. We remember Jesus, our atonement. We remember Jesus, the one who brought us into union with God. We remember all that he has done for us. And this is so important. And it's on the basis of what Jesus has done for us that we can now be saved. We can now have salvation. You know, there is a tendency for us to take with levity this salvation that we have in Christ. Especially if you've been in the faith for a very long time. There's a tendency that we begin to lose the significance of what it means to be saved. That at the very instant when you made Jesus Lord of your life, the life of God, which is called Zoe, was imparted to you. The Spirit of God took up residence in you. You were translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. You became a child of God. The Spirit of God placed you as a member of the body of Christ. All of that happened in one instance. Heaven rejoiced at your birth because you were born into the kingdom of God. The Father acknowledges you as his child. The Spirit of God bears witness with your spirit that you are a child of God. This is the greatest miracle that can happen to any man. And that singular act determines your eternal destiny. And brothers and sisters, heaven is real and hell is real. And the decision that we make to either accept Christ or reject him determines our eternal destiny. When you draw your last breath here on the earth and you shut your eyes in death, when the eyes of your spirit opens up, what will it open up to see? Will it open up to see the beauty and the bliss of heaven? Or will it open up to see the torment of hell? Hell is a place, the Bible says, the flames do not go out, and the worms never die. You see the significance of that decision of making Jesus Lord of your life. Not only in this temporal life, but over in eternity. There is a hell to shun. There is a heaven to gain. It's a choice. There's some things I read in the scriptures that give me concern. Like when Jesus said, in the last day, some people will say to me, Lord, Lord, in your name we have done this, in your name we have done that. And he will say to them, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I do not know you. Meaning, it's not about an activity. It's a relationship. Some people know about God, but they don't know God. These are two different things. And even the things that we do in the kingdom of God in the service in our in the service in God's kingdom is something that is born out of a place of relationship. What Jesus was actually saying is, some people can be busy for God and have no business with Him because they don't know Him. It's not about activity, it's a relationship. You need to meet the King of this kingdom, Jesus Christ. And coming to church does not make you a Christian. Singing with us does not make you one of us if you have not had an encounter with Jesus. That's where it begins. And if you're here and you're hearing me this morning and you have not made certain your eternal destiny, where you will spend eternity, I beg of you this morning, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, make that decision. The Bible says, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. If you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. And Luke chapter 10 verse 20 reads, notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven, in the Lamb's book of life. Make certain of your salvation. Make certain of it. You need to have that assurance in your heart that I am a child of God. It's the greatest honor there is. That God is my Father and I am His child, and He acknowledges me as His child. Romans 8:16, the scripture reads, the Spirit bears witness with our spirits that we are the children of God. And we can cry, Abba, Father. For everyone who has not given his or her life to Jesus, this is where it begins. This is the greatest miracle there is. And this is the greatest reason why we can be thankful to God. Because we know that our eternal destiny is secured. When God's word comes to us, God's word demands a response from us. And this is the response that God expects each and every one of us to have. This is how God wants us to respond. Hebrews 13:15, the scripture reads, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. You know, when you read Psalms 1, it likens the believer as a tree. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaves also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So the believer is likened to a tree. In fact, Jesus even said in John 15, I am the vine, you are the branches. And he goes on to say that we should bear fruit. Sorry about that. It goes on to say that we should bear fruit. And according to this scripture, one of the fruits that we should bear is the fruit of thanksgiving, giving thanks to the Lord. It proceeds from your heart and comes out of your lips. This is one of the fruits that we should bear. And the scripture I read at the beginning, in everything, give thanks to God, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You know, I'm reminded of what Jesus did when he had the 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes, and he wanted to feed 5,000 people. The Bible said that he took those loaves, and in John chapter 6 verse 11, when he had given thanks, he gave to his disciples, and his disciples gave to the people. In the face of insufficiency, what didn't look like much, Jesus, our perfect example, he gave thanks. And after he gave thanks, the blessing of God came upon those loaves and fishes, and it multiplied. Sometimes, the reason why we don't see the potential in the things that God has given to us is because we take those things for granted. We have commonized them. But if we can just give God thanks for what doesn't look like much, the blessing of God will come upon it. Could it be that the long-awaited miracle, the miracle you've been waiting for a very long time, could it be that it is just hinged upon your being grateful to God for the things that he's given you, no matter how small they may be? Could it just be that all God wants from us is to give complaining and murmuring a break and just say, Lord, I thank you for where I am, for the things that I have, in the face of difficulty, in the face of challenging situations? Can we just look to the Lord and say, Lord, I thank you? You know, David the psalmist, usually when you read the Psalms, he would say, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. We can't make God any bigger. We can't magnify God. What actually happens when we worship and praise God, God becomes bigger on the inside of us. As we begin to praise him and honor him and worship him, we begin to see his goodness, we begin to see his greatness. He becomes magnified in our hearts and in our eyes. And it's about focus. As you begin to focus on God and praise and worship him, you begin to see his greatness, and whatever is a mountain before you begins to look very small as you place that thing side by side with God. There's a very strong connection between thanksgiving and faith. As you focus on God and bless his name and worship him and thank him, you will notice that your faith will begin to rise, because you will begin to see his greatness, and whatever it is that stands before you as a mountain begins to look smaller and smaller because God is magnified in you. And so this morning, the admonishment that we have from the word of God today is that we should make it a habit to give God thanks. Look around you, and just look for the fingerprints of God on your life. Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give you praise this morning. We thank you. Oh Lord, we're grateful to you for all that you've done. Thank you for this year 2024. Thank you for January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, now November, now in December. You have been mighty good to us. Lord, we thank you for all that you've done. Thank you for how the year has been. Thank you for the things that we've had to deal with through the course of the year. Thank you because you were there. You have taken us through this year. And here we are this morning, Lord, lifting up our voices to you, blessing your name. I pray, Father, this morning, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that each and every one of us, Lord, will make it a habit to thank you for the things that you've done. May we never take the things you have done for us for granted. Lord, help us to cultivate a heart of gratitude. Help us, Lord, that even in the face of difficult situations, help us to be grateful and to be thankful. We give you the praise this morning, and we bless your name for all that you've done. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen.